listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, it's Series 10, Episode 5 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We're brought to you as ever by our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions this League of Ireland season. And our charity bet later in the show is brought to you by Bar One Betting. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you. Not overly fresh men though, off the back of my stag do in Belfast the last couple of days. But a great weekend was had, guys. Good to chat to you again. I'm sick of looking at you at this stage.
Absolutely, yeah. But lovely weekend. Got to see some football. A few pints into us as well. I actually didn't get a kebab throughout the weekend.
I did.
I know. That needs to be rectified soon enough. Might get one this week. But great weekend. Good crack with the lads.
Yeah, we went to Glentoran and Crusaders on the Saturday in the Oval, which we had heard a lot about. Very Daly Mount Park vibes about it. It's obviously seen better days, but you can kind of, when you're standing there, it's such a vast, massive place. You can imagine it in its glory days, what it would have been like.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think, was there part of it closed off as well?
Yeah,
like, it's just very mix and gather, but very old school. And probably same enough with Solitude. Like, it was... I think the top stand is closed off there as well. Someone said to me, full of asbestos or something like that. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that was the story on the day. But that was good. That was a much better game, I felt, even though there was a bag of goals in there in the Glentoran game. But I thought the Cliftonville game was...
Yeah, Sunday we're at Cliftonville-Linfield. And we're kind of going to expecting... You know, this is going to be a really uncomfortable atmosphere. It's going to be raucous. It was tame enough. Like, there was a good atmosphere come the end when Cliftonville won. But if you stack it up to a Bowes Rovers game, it just does it. There wasn't that same bite about it, was there?
No, there wasn't. It was a bit quiet. Yeah, nothing going on there.
Nothing going on, no.
But, yeah, look, it was a nice little ground. Seeing better days, same as most grounds, but... an enjoyable experience, I have to say. Wouldn't be exactly like, oh, jeez, can't wait to go to another NAFL game either.
No, the one Saturday was poor now.
Yeah.
So we got absolutely done as well on the train on the way up. You know, we were six or seven of us. We said, oh, we'll do some bets for the weekend. And the one we all wanted to do was hoping to get a hat trick in the Saturday game. And we looked on every app going and tweeted people and everything, and nobody could get in. There's no goal scorer markets on a lot of the Northern Irish League games, which is surprising in this day and age. So we couldn't get any sort of a price on Hoban to get a hat-trick. And of course, he got the hat-trick. Not that we've seen it. The first half was so, so bad. We said, I'll go up to the bar here now. And there was a massive queue in the bar. I don't think by the time we had a drink in our hand, it was probably 60 or 70 minutes gone in the game.
Wouldn't be like us, like, but like at the same time, it was just so bad in the first half.
Just as we were walking over to the bar, there was the red card as well, and the game was totally done. Crusaders were offering nothing. Even one of the lads that was with us, he plays a bit of Sunday League down in Longford, and he was like, you know, I don't think I'd look out of place here.
Yeah, exactly.
So we missed Pat Hooban's hat trick. He got the hat trick quite sharpish, like, good to see Dylan Connolly come on for a few minutes. So good to see, obviously, Decky Devine over Glentoran as well. So we got to see a few ex-League of Ireland boys over the weekend. Darragh Leahy playing for Linfield yesterday as well.
Very good. Yeah. No, it was good. Like, the boys still chiseling away at it. So good to see. All right.
Yeah. No, good weekend had by all, I have to say now. Right. Sure. I suppose last week we had about a 40-minute segment on what went on in Oriel Park. Thankfully, that's behind us now. There's been more statements released over the last week or so. But I suppose the big news really over the last week was the FAI's punishment for Drogheda, a €15,000 fine, a 4-game away ban, and they're not allowed to attend any more games in Oriel Park this season. And that's obviously generated a lot of discussion within the League of Ireland community. Some people think it's overly harsh, others think it doesn't go far enough. Where do you fall on the argument, Gaz?
A 4-game away ban or 4-away game ban is stupid. Always was stupid. It's a cop out, really. Punishment wise, I think I mentioned, like, you know, 80 or 90% home stadium ban to begin with.
That's the thing for me, like a 4-game away ban, and there's a lot of talk about how, you know, it'll affect the four clubs that were supposed to have away fans going down. But like, for me, a 4-game away ban, it doesn't really send a message. I think one game there behind closed doors at home, and as we said before, LOI TV or Virgin Media, whoever's there, broadcasting an empty stadium, and, you know, people tuning in, the commentators like, well, there's no one here because of what happened last week. I think that sends a far bigger message than, you know, the fact that maybe a couple of hundred lads can't go down to wherever, Waterford or Sligo, for a few weeks. And let's call it space bed. If it's just people that want to go, they'll probably find a way still. I think it's a weak punishment, to be honest.
I think it's a weak punishment. As you mentioned, like, even what I would recommend, if you're going to do a home stadium ban, you'd have away fans there. You know, really
100%. Yeah.
This away game ban is a total cop out. And I know it's like independent committee or whatever, but I don't know who those people are on it. It's bullshit. It is punishing the home clubs that are not going to get an away gate to it. But like, I know it's a Premier Division, but like, if that included, like, let's say a league or a cup game, you know, they've set the precedent now to a degree. They set the precedent before, but they came off that pedestal as well. So like, we'll say, for example, you know, a big crowd, would say, coming down to a First Division team, you know, for what if Kerry got Drogheda, you know, people going down for the weekend, like what Bowes did a couple of years ago, that'd be a serious hit to the gate, because what a load of clowns did in a Premier Division game impacts a First Division team. I'm not saying that, I know that's not the case here, but what's going to happen the next time? And I think this is a bit of, as I mentioned before, the Helen Lovejoy shit, because a pitch got damaged, all to appease a minister that was running his mouth, which I know you kind of have to do anyway, but, you know, I don't think it is at the right mark at all. And also, like what the hell is a pyro dog? Do you know what I mean? Like, I was saying to one of the lads there, he works in the media, but like, we don't even have a cadaver dog in the state. You know,
that's a great point.
For finding dead bodies, we have to go up to the north and borrow a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Go ask the PSNI. Well, lad, we're missing this lad here. We think he's dead. You know, can we borrow the dog? And like, and then every club has to have a pyro dog, multiple pyro dogs at the game. Like, it's just bullshit. Like,
I did after the statement came out the other, whatever day it was, Friday, I think, I did contact the league office and just asked for a clarification on a few things.
What the hell is a pyro dog?
I didn't ask that. I don't think I should have, actually. Yeah. Where do you get one? the other thing, that CCTV is going to have to be, you know, there was talk of the licensing requirements for 2027, that adequate CCTV would have to be installed in all the grounds. So I was just checking
as well, that.
I was checking, will that apply to First Division clubs as well? I didn't get an answer on that. So I would love an answer on the pyro dog situation. Where does Longford Town get a pyro dog?
Yeah, exactly. But where does anybody get a pyro dog?
Just stick a wee terrier at the gate and put a hivis on him? And he barks at some lad walking by. Oh, check him, frisk him. Yeah, oh, sorry, the dog.
Exactly.
It's not a perfect science.
It's not a perfect science. Like, I know a lad that worked in a private parcel company, an international one, and he was like, the customs staff, the humans, had a better strike rate than the dogs. For picking up
even
drugs.
Like going through the airport, I've never seen a dog in the airport.
I've seen one of them, but like, you know, he takes years of training, you know, and like, he lives with the handler and like all this other stuff, and next year we're going to get pyro dogs, you know, for what, 500 League of Ireland games a year? You know, who's paying for that? Like, it's just bullshit. I can't believe that those words were committed to paper. Like, it is mad, but like,
something tells me that won't happen.
Yeah, no, it won't happen. But like, I think I said to you already, like, I've already solved that problem. It's not, if you point at a dog there, train him up outside the ground, and that's the pyro dog there. he's very bad at getting pyro, but like, you know, what are you going to do? You know, fire him, sanction him. You know, you're not hitting your KPIs, dog.
Yeah, better be jump for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's bullshit. Like, so I think whatever about the CCTV, I wouldn't even be much of a fan of, because, like, you know, lads are going into places with the snoods and the head and the, you know, you can barely see their eyeballs in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like Crime Call. You know, you just see a lad's pupils. It's like, do you know this man? It's like, no, I don't know this man, because I can barely make out that he's a human being, never mind know him. So, you know, this is all just performative bullshit. You know, so, won't someone think of the children? Doesn't actually handle the issue in the first place. So, yeah, like, you know, as I mentioned before, I didn't hear any mention about the guards. I didn't hear any mention about, was there, where were these flares bought from? How were these flares get into someone's hands? None of that. It's all just like, you know, me pour a bit of plastic pitch. It has a few marks on it.
I was in Oriel there for just a few minutes there today, and the work on the pitch has started, so that's good.
Yeah, but how long is that going to take? An afternoon?
I'm not sure. They haven't got a home game for a couple of weeks now, so they'll have lots of time. I think it needs the weather needs to be kind, but they'll get it done. It won't be a big issue. The weather needs to be kind to put it down. Whatever they're doing, I think they need a decent day or two, so hopefully they'll get that. But
even though it's put in through winter. I know you're not a pitch installer, but right, boys.
What I was going to say, just to tidy this up so we can move on and talk about the football, the draw of the statement, obviously they did commit to paying for the damage. Again, now there was all sorts of figures flying around there last week, as we said on last week's show, just plucked out of the sky, them figures by certain people. But they've done the right thing, and they're paying for the damage, so that was good to see. The draw of the statement, again, it was something I traced up and didn't get a response on. And there was talk that they had identified individuals for, I think the term was like negative fan behaviour, and that they had been sanctioned. They didn't say how many people were involved in this, quote, negative fan behaviour. They also didn't say what the sanctions were. So I wouldn't be mad about that, to be honest. I think we spoke about last week that some clubs out there haven't really dealt with certain individuals harshly enough down the years. You'd be concerned that maybe is that happening again. I don't know. I'm sure they have dealt with people, but anyway, look, I think we can put it behind us now, but let's hope it's the last time we're talking about this on the pod.
Well, not for the next few minutes. What did you enjoy the St. Pat's display there on Friday evening?
I thought it was very good, yeah.
I'm not talking about the football.
I'm talking about the flair, the display.
Yeah
it was savage display.
All right, okay. So what action do you think now should be taken against
It'll be interesting to see that, won't it? Like, there was pyro, obviously, at the Dublin Derby. There was plenty of pyro and a very famous banner now as well. Very pointed banner for the minister.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see. Are they just going to get the normal punishment? There used to be a thing where it was like, wasn't the talk, it was like 500 quid a flare or whatever was the talk back in the day, I think.
Yarn. I don't remember if there was a fee per flare or what it was like. But, like, you know, it'd be, if 15 grand for, like, let's say 10 flares for Drogheda there, didn't
It was more. It was a lot more than 10 flares.
Was it? Okay, it was 20, was it?
Oh, no, it was way more than that. You were talking 50 to 60 flares, I'd say.
50 to 60 flares?
Yeah, it was a barrage, lad.
Right, if it was 50 or 60 flares, who was checking these boys coming in? It's like they were just waving them in, like.
As we said last week, there's actually nothing you can do to stop flares getting into a ground, really. Unless we're going to have boys going through metal detectors, that'll be the next thing now. Alongside the pyro dog, we'll have airport detectors. and we'll all have to pay for it. But, like, you shove down your jocks and in you go. Like, there's nothing, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But
it'd just be interesting to see now, did they get the normal punishment, like a small fine of, I don't know, 15 or 1500 or whatever, or because of the climate we're in at the moment, did they get absolutely hammered?
Yeah. Like, we'll say they're playing tonight now in an hour's time. I know it's a Monday night and maybe they're out of flares. They haven't got replenished the stock just yet. But like, well, what will happen there? Will there be another display tonight? And then, you know, next thing you know, or like that's a home team.
Yeah, it was funny because I was watching. I didn't go to a game Friday. I was kind of flicking between all the games, but I was watching a bit of the Virgin Media coverage before, and they were having a discussion about it in the studio. And the host said, like, also they were talking about kind of the balance between, oh, you know, it's such a good part of the league, the fan atmosphere and the displays and everything. It's such a unique thing within the League of Ireland. But it's a shame that that's the end of it now. And I was like, what are these lads on about? I was like, this game that we're about to watch, I guarantee you there's going to be pyro. And then I switched over to Pats and a massive big pyro display, and then flicked back over to the Dublin Derby and more pyro there. So, I don't think it's the end of the pyro within the league, but let's just
I don't think it
remains in sensible hands.
Look, that's kind of the least that we can ask for at this point.
I know people are, and we've probably talked about on this pod that people are always going on, you know, the league should just embrace it and there should be some sort of like safe pyro zones for that. But the problem is it's illegal.
Yeah,
it's illegal to bring it into a football match, so
they can't just go, oh yeah, we love this.
Yeah.
But like, even like, I think it was probably some article somewhere, some shite. Is it Legia Warsaw have like budget like 50 grand a game for fines?
Oh, really?
Yeah, 50 grand a game. Some insane figure like that. But like, I think I'm not sure, like, other than like a ban, like the only way to do it is ban it. But like, the clubs need to get wiser about how they're handling it. And I don't think they're being helped with the punishments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. if you're drawing and you're like, your heart and soul is broke, try to deal with pyro from fans, and then you're nearly looking for a home stadium ban to try and drive it out of the fan base. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Anyway, look, that's enough on that for now. We'll talk about football. As I was kind of flicking between a lot of the games last week, but the only place to start is the Dublin Derby. Bohemians 3, Shamrock Rovers 2. Almost peak bows at the end now. Yeah. But yeah. Another couple of minutes there would have been interesting. But if you want to just erase the last couple of minutes out of your brain, aside from that, it was Shamrock Rovers were mauled to pieces by Bohemians on Friday night.
Yeah, they're ridden rock solid now. I thought Bows were a great value for the win. They seem to have, you know, in last week's pod, people were saying that I was calling them for the title. I wasn't saying that, but I think third is a very comfortable...
Garrett McGlynn, who was on last week, spoke very, very. He kind of thinks along the same lines as you that maybe they won't be in the mix for the title, but they could have like a very good season compared to what's gone in the past. So,
yeah, well, like we'll say the one thing obviously I'd have concerns about is just them last going the distance and the staying power. But like a lot has been made about, we'll say, Collie Whelan and like what all this and that and the other. Like, he didn't have a fantastic season last year. He scored a couple of hat tricks or something like that.
Yeah.
But like that's no addition over the course of a season. He did very well on the night. He got his penalty. Great little pass in for, was it Parsons that opened the scoring? Please confirm. I can't remember. Friday is like a month ago.
Oh, at this point. Stop.
But yeah, really nice little bit of play. His whole lot of play has been exceptional and it always has been. But yeah, look, very comfortable until the last few minutes. Met a bags of it, but look, the very good, very good opener. Dublin Derby. I thought Rovers were just miles away from it. I was obviously watching the beloved town, and I was trying to flick between the two or whatever, but the bits that I did see, I thought Rovers were just, you know, just a non-entity. Like, they were nearly bet before the game started. I never felt they really showed up.
This was off the back of a disappointing result against Dundalk as well, where Dundalk were perfectly good value for their point with 10 men as well. So
yeah, exactly. My mate Cleary, you know, I don't know how he wasn't sent off, actually, for the penalty. That was a disgraceful decision by the referee. just desperate stuff from the ref, has to be said, Cleary. But I've been saying for many years that Shamrock Rovers owe the league about probably 15 red cards over the last 3 or 4 years, getting away with absolute murder. But another desperate decision from the ref, I don't know who it was, on Friday night, but that was Neil Doyle.
It was Neil Doyle, yeah.
Yeah. Absolute shit decision. It just really bothered me because, like, there's absolutely no attempt to go for the ball. He just launches him to the ground. It's such an easy decision to make. Like, there's no question about it. But the ref shits the togs again. But look, it didn't harm Bowes on the night, even though they tried to let it harm them. But look, fair value for the win, even with the two late goals from Rovers.
Seems to be a lot going on behind the scenes at Rovers. I know we haven't really touched on it and probably won't bother this week either. We're not in the best of health here, as you can probably hear from the two of us. So
yeah.
But the stuff with Michael Noonan's going on in the background, that's quite complex, quite messy. There's this investigation going on now about the postponement of the Dundalk game as well. I don't know what's going to come out of that, if anything, but and there's always talk about kind of a little bit of unrest behind the scenes and relationships between certain people. It just is a bit messy there at the minute.
Yeah, it is a bit messy. It's interesting that, like, you know, the Dublin media haven't actually been able to report anything worthwhile on this, seeing as they're so far up the hole of Bradley and the rest of them anyway, which is quite disappointing. But I think the stuff, like, it's interesting that there's two larger items ongoing. Like, we'd say the thing about Noonan is, I don't really, like, we'd say, wasn't Bradley saying, like, well, we didn't know about it, and then we did know about it, and there was stuff going on with the board and all of this yarn. Like, you know, it just needs to be cleared up. Like, and that should be stuff that is very clear upable in a very quick way, by my estimation, what I've heard so far. So they could do without it, really, because they're playing like ass on the pitch.
Derry City, I was watching a good bit of their game as well. They're 4-2 winners against Waterford after going 2-0 down.
Great opening goal for Waterford, well.
Yeah, yeah, comical stuff, really. And then a penalty as well. So two calamitous goals to give away, really.
Yeah, did you see that penalty?
I did.
What the hell was he thinking? He took him out nearly at the fucking Oxter. Like, just stupid decision. Like, and going away from goal as well.
Yeah.
Really, really, really poor decision making there.
It was very reminiscent of the Sligo game, though. Kind of when they got back to 2-1, 2-2, Waterford, the leg started to go, and Derry, they made a couple of substitutions. Took James McLean off, which was interesting. We might talk about him again. I know, don't want to be like a broken record talking about James McLean every week, but it's definitely something we need to discuss, I think, his position in that team. And he came off and a few players came on and they just played with more intensity, just like that Sligo game. I was watching that Sligo game the opening night. It was just like the Derry of the last few years, where they can't break down a low block and there's just real pedantic passenger football. But then the last 15 minutes, they played with a real intensity and they showed the quality that's obviously there. And again, once they started to play with intensity against Waterford, you could be like, all right, you can see, geez, if this team gets going. But it's just all that pricking that we had before that. It's it can be hard to watch at times.
Yeah, it can be quite hard. I think the interesting part on Friday was that Waterford went 2-2 up, and that was probably added a bit of colour to it. You know, great stuff. Like that would have been a game maybe last year that they would have been happy with a 2-2 draw.
Derry,
I think. Yeah. Not happy, but like we'll say, we're 2-0 down, getting out of jail with 2-2.
Rather than going on to win it. Yeah.
Like that would have been, you know, if you looked at that game, you didn't know the full time result and you saw them getting it back to 2-2. If you watched that game 2 years ago, you could have been like, yeah, that's grand. That's what's no surprise there that they're happy with the 2-2, getting it back, pulling it out of fire or whatever. And admire the character of the players. Bullshit, like. So maybe, you know, this is a bit more of a statement from them. Like, obviously, you know, Waterford not going to be in the shake-up much too far up the table. So you need to be gathering up the points against these from a Derry point of view. So, yeah, I think decent result. Not a decent result, very good result. Great finish by Duffy chested it down.
Fast
people
goal,
were going, yeah. people were raving. Like, what's hey, you do that on your back garden 9 times out of 10. Like, Jesus Christ. Chested it down and blasted into the box or blasted into the net. Like, you know, it's great, but it's not revolutionary. We'll come on to that other clam.
Who?
Forrester, known in a while. But look, I think it was well done by Derry. They'll get a lot of.
Again, though, Michael Duffy, you know, is he going to have to do an awful lot of carrying this year?
Oh, his back will be broke by May.
Yeah. But just on McLean, obviously he was subbed off, which was interesting to see. There's been a lot of talk about is he undroppable and is he running the team and all this type of stuff. But he was took off, and I thought Derry played an awful lot better after McLean went off. Now, again, that's not on McLean. It was just the subs that came on had an impact. But we were talking about this on the train, the lock of us yesterday, and McLean, you think of him down the years, even in the last few years, getting on in age and everything, he's an explosive wide player, let it be from wing back or the wing. It's about him getting up and down that line, lots of energy, trying to get crosses into the
Spring
box.
It in, yeah.
Whereas now he's been asked to be a central midfield player. And I think it was it Garrett McGlynn maybe that said it last week, or maybe it was Shane Keegan. I was chatting to him for another pod, but he was like, he's an adequate midfield player. But like, have you brought James McLean home just to be an adequate player in the League of Ireland?
No, I think a lot of it was vibes, to be quite honest. Do you know what I mean? Not.
Is there a way you can get him back into a more natural wide area?
Yes, you. When you're naming the team, you put him out.
You moved a little
back on the board.
But Duffy's
on the left.
Duffy's out on the left. Do you switch Duffy to the right? Or
no, you don't. You don't tinker with Duffy. So I don't know what that entails. Like, he obviously, it seems like the opportunity to get the player in was unexpected, let's say. Would that be a fair comment, do you think?
Probably sooner, maybe sooner than they expected. I think everyone felt it would be the summer before he came home.
Yeah, and like I would say, like Tiernan Lynch was told, well, lad, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and he probably had a lot of his team ready to go and all the players, you know, that he wanted to get together. Look, I know it's really not easy. I don't know where
he That's the problem, because you've got Fleming at fullback, who's been excellent. You've got the lad that's just come in, Cotter, now over on the other side. And then you've got Duffy. But they have been playing the likes of Markey and Clark out wide on the other side, and that's not their natural position. Again, Garrett McGlynn pointed out last week, there's maybe three or four players that are playing out of position.
What do you think of Coffey? Or Cotter?
Cotter. Yeah, like he was good in his previous spell in the league. I think it's been gently suggested in some places. And again, I've spoken to a couple of people that would have knowledge of him from around the league that have either gone up against him or maybe shared a dressing room with him. And there does seem to be the reoccurring suggestion that maybe the attitude at times hasn't been the best over the years.
Yeah. So I don't know, when you hear about that a few times, you know, it's very rarely wrong. But look, I suppose he'll get an opportunity to sort that out now. But like, it'd be hard for it into the team, won't he?
Cotter.
Yeah.
I don't know. He'll be in at left full. He'll be in at left full.
What about Fleming?
He's right.
What about James McLean? Who's left full at the minute?
It's Cotter. He played the other night. Fleming's over on the right.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. But the only, from a McLean point of view, you could probably drop a Markey didn't play the other night, but Clark did. So you could maybe drop one of them and put McLean out on the right. I'm not really sure if that works either. I don't think he's ever really played down the right. So
one thing I would say, he put a couple of nice balls into the box.
His set pieces are savage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is that enough to...
Mm.
Don't think so.
Especially when you have like Michael Duffy, who can do that as well, you know.
Yeah, a lot of lads.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, I'd say. Like, he was took off the other night. Will Tiernan have the bottle to not play him at all if he feels, do you know what, I might just get Adam O'Reilly in here, and, you know, that's what he's designed to do, that position, and bring James on as an impact sub down the left or something if we need him.
Yeah, an interesting one. I think it's going to be, like, can you imagine the talk? Oh, James McLean isn't starting.
Mm.
You know, that'll be, and especially like, imagine, let's say they're playing Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Like either in Derry or in Tala, next thing you know. Where's James McLean?
They haven't had a double game week yet, so it'll be interesting to see a Friday-Monday situation. If the Monday, maybe he might...
Good shout, yes. Mm. Yes.
We'll move on. We spoke about Drogheda a good bit there at the top of the pod. A bad week got worse for them when they were beaten by Shelburne. Kevin Doherty was sent off. He ended up in a bit of hot water as well with his... I won't say his post-match interview, because it should have never gone to air, whatever the hell happened there. But the continuation of a stinky old week for Drogheda.
Yeah, well, just on the stuff that went out there, like, absolutely zero issue with anything he said in any of that. You know, opposition, you know, big rival manager says your ground is a shithole. Shock her. Wow.
Can I just jump in there as well?
Yes.
I'm over in Drogheda a good bit, so I know a lot of the people that are doing the streaming there. Like, this wasn't the lad's fault that we're doing the interview or doing the camera.
No, correct, yeah.
And you know the workings of LOI TV and all that. You know more about this. But the lad that was doing the camera is a Dundalk fan.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, and I would see it myself, the two boys would be always having a little bit of banter with each other.
Yeah, normal.
And that's all it was. They were having a bit. And to be fair... I don't want to name drop him or whatever, but he does a podcast, this lad that's doing the camera. I think he's come out and he's pretty much said that as well, which is fair play. But that's what it was. It was a bit of an inside joke. Do you know what? I don't think it was that bad what he said. Okay, it mightn't look the most professional or whatever, but, you know, it was an inside joke that shouldn't have gone to air.
Yeah, but it's not the end of the world. Like, you know, no issue with that, any of that. Bit of crack. You know, I tell Anthony all the time that the Athlone stream is shite. Yeah. It's just a bit crack, like. It's not... Wow. On the game, they'll be disappointed. Luke Dennison didn't really help the situation by nearly decapitating a Shells player, giving away a penalty that kind of set the... That was the end of it, really, for Shells, and that's where Kevin Doherty got sent off. Good important result probably for Shells.
Yeah, they needed that.
Yeah, we've a lot of Drogheda on the brain, particularly for this, but they did need that result. That was their first win of the season, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was only their third game, but
yeah, no, I know, yeah, but still,
Barbose, I don't think anyone's really got off to a flyer.
Yeah, that's fair. I think though it was still an important win for Shelburne. That could have been a sticky one. And next thing you know, you have 3 games in, no wins, and it's a bit of a nightmare. But I think a decent result for Shelburne without a doubt. Needed it.
Yeah. Where else have we got to go here in the Premier? Oh, the Connacht Derby, that was obviously it was probably one of the most significant results of the weekend, aside from the Bowes Derby, the Dublin Derby, excuse me. Galway won, Sligo Rovers nil. France Perot wasn't in the matchday squad, but Jimmy Keohane got the winner for Galway, and Sligo with a man sent off at the MBQ. It's looking like it's going to be a tough, tough season for Sligo.
Yeah, I think, probably not an unexpected result in the game. Really good finish by Keohane. He absolutely buried it. And it was an important result for Galway. You know, you want to be keeping just ahead of the teams. Like, we'll say, you know, if you look down in the second half of the table, Galway, Dundalk, Waterford, Sligo. Is it going to be that type? You know, are we going to be looking, you know, in 6 or 8 months' time, closer to the end of the year? Is that what the table is going to look like? It's definitely going to feature, I think, those 4 teams in some way, shape or form. But it's important to beat the teams around you. I think we often talked about last year at the game, Sligo playing Cork, or you know, in the middle, you know, when it was a kind of last chance saloon for Cork to pull them out of it. Wasn't there a game that I think with the Sligo win 3-2 in the last minute?
Yeah, and like Cork hit the crossbar and Sligo went down the other end and got the winner.
That's right. You know, yeah. And those are the games, and I know it's very early on, but like, when you look across the season, you know, if you get relegated or you're in that diocese come the end of the year, you're going to be looking at those games. Shit, we drop points here, we drop points there against teams that were we're right up against. So really important result for Galway. I just don't know where the goals are going to come from Sligo.
Yeah, that's the massive concern.
It's just going to be such a slog.
Mm. And then the game I watched a good bit of this on Friday. Pats 4.
I'd say you did.
Pats 4 and Dundalk 0. I think the absence of Vinnie Leonard for Dundalk was a huge concern going into the game. And, you know, he will be away in the summer. I think he's going in the summer, isn't he?
Yeah.
That'll be a concern when he eventually goes. He's such an important player. And it's mad to say that, a teenager, a centre half as well. You know, we see the likes of an Elding and a Noonan coming through in the last couple of years, like attackers scoring goals. And like a teenager to be so important to a defensive unit, it's quite rare. It goes to show what a talent he is. But Pats were excellent, I have to say. I suppose one of the criticisms we've had about Pats in the first few weeks of the season is the slow build up, the terrible, boring stuff they've been playing. Whereas I thought they really got at Dundalk Friday. A lot of, not like when I say direct, not like long balls, but like quickly getting it up the other end. Picking gaps in the Dundalk defence, particularly down the flank, down the right side, they really seemed to give Dundalk a good going over. I will say, we talked about him last week, the boy Edmondson for Pats. Jesus Christ, he'd want to find his scoring boots quickly. He does some really nice stuff in general play, but he just seems to be one of the like most uncomposed finishers I've ever seen.
50p foot, like, I don't know how he's managing it. Like,
swinging in fresh air and stuff like that. Like, the first goal that Pats get, A. Dervin gets robbed in the middle of the park. Obviously, he's at fault, Dervin, but I don't know who it was that passed it to Dervin.
Well, you see, actually, just exactly on that, like, I wouldn't say it's A's fault.
No,
at all.
No, not entirely.
If you can see, Palmer makes the run towards Dervin before the pass is even made.
Yeah.
Whoever passed it to him, like, are you blind, lad?
Remember we spoke about, remember Dervin, he made a pass into, when he was playing for Shells, when Duffer was
against
in charge.
Balls. Yep.
Yeah, and it was like a nothing kind of 2-yard pass, and it put his teammate under pressure, and he got robbed, and both scored, and Duffer went ballistic.
I don't think he probably played in the final, I'd say, that was the next time he played. He went straight out of the squad after that.
Yeah, he did. It reminded me of that. The pass into Dervin put Dervin in a world of trouble. Now, he could have probably booted it away or done something, but tried to play back across it and got his pocket picked.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, I thought Dundalk had got away with it because Edmondson, the ball came his way and he completely made a hash of it. And then he did well to recover. He played a nice ball across for Palmer, who buried it in off the crossbar. But Pats really did destroy Dundalk at times.
Yeah, they did. You know, and then a second goal from the corner, which is, you know, fair enough.
That's a real concern for Dundalk. They've conceded in a set piece now in nearly all their games.
Yeah, big problem.
Conceded on Monday against Rovers, conceded against Derry. So, yeah, that's a concern.
Well, big time. But also, like, it's going to be tough. They probably hadn't seen, like, the quality of set piece probably last year, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So they're being found out now. We'll say one thing, Owen Kenny had a really made a nine pull off an unbelievable save just coming that time.
Yeah.
But we've seen that from Kenny even last year. He bet three or four players.
Yeah, he's really come on in the last 6 months
six,
or so.
6 months, yeah, absolutely. You know, drive and taking ownership of, like, you know, driving the team forward being a real impact. He did very well.
He was over in England there in pre-season. I think he had a trial or two, and you can kind of see why, because he's such a strong carrier of the ball. That was an unbelievable bit of dribbling there to get the shot away. And you can see why clubs would want that. He's quite a tall lad as well. He's got that bit of pace, bit of athleticism about him. Mm-hmm. So if he keeps that up, then there could be a big move ahead for him. But
yeah,
this was a much needed boost for Pats because the start of the season had been very tame. But we'll see if they can follow up tonight against Galway.
Yeah, it'll be a different test again. See if they can, you know, should they have spared a couple of the goals on Friday night for tonight? But we'll have to wait and see. I do want to highlight though that early in the second half there was a good chance for Dundalk to get one back. I thought the defender was really poor. It was kind of blocked off, like your man, I don't know who took the shot, but he just drove it into the one lad standing on the line after the keeper was taken out of the game.
Right.
And then from the corner as well, a nine came out with the fist and totally fresh aired it.
Yeah, I did see that.
And that, you know, that's not good enough. Like, it hit the post, like, and then we cleared off the line. Like, that's just dog shit now. That, like, would say we probably didn't give McGinty enough abuse last week when he let Dundalk back into the game, didn't take ownership of his own line and clear out the ball or grab a hold of it. So that'll be something. I know every League of Ireland goalkeeper is fond of
pegging it into the wrong net. Bad ones in the first division this week.
Yeah, there was, yeah. But, you know, for a team that wants to be creeping up towards the top end of the table, you know, we'll say, for example, McGinty won't do that as often as anybody else in the league. So that'll be points there, right there on the table. So, yep. And just, like, people raving about Forrester and his nutmeg. Will you give me a bloody break? 4-0 up, 4-0 up in the 90-something minute or 86 minutes, you nutmeg a lad going back towards your own goal. Like, that's no use to anybody. No use to anybody. You know, go on to FIFA Street there or whatever that game was back in the day, or Gale Schooner or some of that shit. Like,
yeah.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough for a team that's trying to push themselves up the table and challenge for something.
Yeah, just on Dundalk, it was their third game in a week. So look, I'd write this off. It's not. They had a good start with the draws, particularly against Derry and Rovers. This was maybe a kind of a reality check that the Premier Division is going to be a lot tougher than last year. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about this. They're not going to be mixing it with Pats this season. It's about staying ahead of your Waterfords, Galway, Sligo's, Strahd's, etc. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know why I said Strahd. Never mind.
Okay, great.
Well, unless the wheels come off there with all the shit that's been going on. But
yes, but that'd be epic level wheels. Like what we know today. You know, if Shamrock Rovers went to the wall tomorrow, well then everybody would finish above them. You know what I mean? You know, let's not talk shite.
Right, so that was the Premier Division games over the course of the weekend. Looking into the First Division then, Gary, you were watching a good chunk of the Longford game. I was flicking. I did a lot of flicking Friday. seen a lot of the Premier Division games. I got to see good chunks of Bowes Rovers, Derry, Dundalk, etc. So,
blowing on this pod every week about how much you love the First Division and covering this and that and the other First Division?
I will say this: I do love the, as much as I'd prefer Longford being the Premier. We championed the First Division here, but it's not really a product for LOI TV. It's something you go to and enjoy and experience, and the match day experience.
Go away with that, lad.
It's not the best product on LOI TV at times.
Leave me alone. Go on. Who are we talking about first?
It's Longford. Longford and Kerry Longford 1-1. Fair enough result, I think, was it, from what I believe?
I think so. I thought it was one of Longford's better performances. Like, I think Kerry away has become a real pain in the hole for Longford down through the years. So I was delighted to get a point out of there. Really good goal from Sean McGrath. That was poor defending from Longford Town.
That's the same goal Longford have conceded a couple of times this season. The cutback from a wide area.
Every single game this season. Yeah. So that's something that needs to be rectified, but definitely a better performance. They created more chances. Sean McGrath, great finish. If anybody hasn't seen it,
I've always liked him. He's a great little player.
Yeah, but Longford dug in, took a scramble of a goal. Alex O'Brien got the goal for Longford. I think it was a fine result early on in the season. Just from the last few years going down to Kerry, it's just not been productive from a Longford perspective. So to get out of there with a point so early in the season, I think it's a great point.
We'll be previewing the weekend's game shortly now, do the predictions league, but just from a Longford point of view, you'd want them to get a win sooner rather than later. Last couple of seasons it's rolled into like April, May.
It took a while, yeah,
first win, and like the season's gone. As we said, they've come home with a right rattle the last couple of seasons, but like left themselves way too much ground to make up, so can't afford to do that. They need a win sooner rather than later. Kerry, it's not been a good start for Kerry for all the hype and talk.
Yeah, I think when you take the hype and talk into account, yes, it hasn't been a good start. You know, they registered their first point the other night.
Full-time setup now, from what I believe.
What?
Yeah, I think it's fairly close to a full-time setup.
Bit journey.
So,
you've expected
more. I know it's early days and quite a lot of new players gone in there, but Colin Healy didn't have the impact we thought he would when he went in there mid-season last season. And
yeah, well, I thought you were going to have a stroke when you heard that he was coming in. I think it was his first or second game against Longford.
Possibly.
Yeah, I thought we'd have to get you checked out after that. But no, it hasn't materialised. But like, I think it just goes to show how difficult it is. You know, new club getting a hold of it. But yeah, they could also do it. Who are they playing Friday? Hold on.
They are playing Treaty away. That they have to win that. They have to win that Treaty.
Oh well, Treaty need to win it as well.
Yeah, they've had a tough start, I suppose. We'll talk Treaty, I suppose, just while we've mentioned them there. They were beaten by UCD, yet to score a goal this season, Treaty. So I think we've suggested it's going to be a bit of a slog for them. It's looking that way. 2-0 UCD.
Yeah, really. I think both goals were scored by the half-hour mark. I think the game was kind of brown bread by then for Treaty. You know, there was some of the goals that they're conceding, that like they're a bit unfortunate as well.
Scrambly old stuff. Yeah.
Scrambly, like we'd say, the opening game ball hits off the post, hits off Jack Brady back of the net in the 90 whatever minute. You know, that's a balls. And then there was a couple of there was a deflection, for the UCD second goal the other night. And like I think Jack Brady got a hand to it as well. He just couldn't push it around the post. If it wasn't deflected, he would have got the full paw behind it. So there is a bit of misfortune with it. But like at the other end, they're not being productive at all. You know, four goals conceded, nothing scored, which is a definite concern and something they need to rectify. And then they may start out at Friday.
Yeah, Cork City 1, Bray 0. It was a goal from Shawnee Maguire. Another header. The marking was terrible, but I suppose players like...
bullshit, like, jeez.
Yeah, but players like him we spoke about Wexford's defending last week. Players like him are probably just going to find those spaces in the first division. They're just...
I think so, yeah.
Just thinking about the game in an entirely different way to other people on the pitch. So, look, it's not comprehensive, but I think we'll see a lot of this from Cork this season. They'll win games where playing within themselves.
Playing within themselves, don't need to, you know, go mental or burst themselves, really. No. And that's fair enough. Like, no one gives a shit. Like, you know, they believe that they should be in the Premier Division. I'm you know, fair enough. But I think those types of goals are just going to come, you know, with the striking options that they have. They're just going to get into those positions and, yeah, just desperate defending from Bray that they'll need to try and iron out as the season goes on.
Yeah. It's one of the more surprising results, I suppose, was Cove 1, Finn Harps 1. You mentioned there about Longford's terrible record down in Tralee. It's a long enough trip, but it's nothing compared to Donegal down to St. Coleman's. I think Cove had won the last six down there against Harps. The Harps haven't won down there since 2018 or something like that. So
yeah.
I was actually talking to an inter-county player the other day, and I was just asking him, like, what's the longest journey you've done on the bus? And he was like, well, we've gone down to, he plays for one of the counties up in the north here. He was like, oh, well, we've gone down to Killarney or wherever, but we'd always go. He couldn't believe, I was telling him, well, Harps are playing Cove tonight. And he was like, oh, they'll stay over. I was like, no. They'll go up and down, I'd imagine. I said, I don't think they have the resources for overnight trips. And he was like, that must be so tough to like go on, get up, eat your breakfast at probably like, I don't know, whatever time they set off.
7 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, stop somewhere and probably have a bit of pasta or whatever. And then boys are sleeping and other boys mightn't sleep watching the iPad or whatever. And he'd like getting off that bus and trying to get the body going for a warm up. He just couldn't, I know he's not a professional, but like a high performance athlete will say, he just couldn't imagine that.
Oh yeah, but probably most county boards would have more money than God, actually, never mind first division clubs. But I do.
The county he played for would have been very fond now of like training camps in the.
Oh, the winter sun training camp job is
no,
it?
Not abroad, but like in not the K club, but like Carlton House and these places. Yeah, love trips there, so it's just different level of financial muscle, I suppose, but. And no, just to make the point, I know we spoke to Shane Keegan about it before, and he was managing Cove down in Longford, and he said to us like, yeah, oh, we always start games real slow here, and we've tried everything. We've tried leaving later and getting here maybe an hour before the game. We've tried leaving earlier and getting here 2 hours, and we've tried different foods, and we've tried this. And it's just so hard to get the body going after a journey like that. So credit to Harps getting a result out of the game, and off the back of their win against UCD last week, things are looking a bit more bright for them.
Yeah, that great point on the road. A kind of surprising result. But actually, you know, thinking back, you know, I wasn't exactly floored by how good Cove were against Longford Town. So probably, but as you mentioned, like, what's it, the journey is such a killer. Mm-hmm. You know, to get points out of that was a real great achievement. So especially so early on in the season, you know, people are only ramping up fitness wise and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe that game against Longford last week might have took a good bit out of the legs of the Cove lads. The pitch was very, very heavy. So
probably.
So it was a bit of a leveler in terms of the Harps journey. Cove playing on a very, very heavy pitch last week. So I thought it was just a bit of a surprising result. Wasn't that surprised by this? I think we had a cracking weekend in the Predictions League. We'll get to it now in a second. But Athlone 2, Wexford 2. I think I might have got this one. I think I got the correct score, if I'm not wrong.
Sounds about right, yeah.
You remember me saying last week, these two have had some mental games down the years. Ended 2-2 on Friday in Lizzie Wollum. We were talking about some goalkeeping errors earlier on. Brendan Clark was very poor for the two Wexford goals.
Yeah.
Hasn't had the best start down there.
No, he hasn't. Would you probably say the first one was just unfortunate, more than a massive error?
That was
error.
One off the corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it came down and he it was nearly driven straight at him, and he got the paws up to it.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Off his hands into the back of the net.
Just, he should have the body behind that.
Yeah, he should have done. Well, look, he should have kept it out. But like, you know, these things happen. Like, you know, you drop the cup of tea once a year. Like, it's not an executable offence, really. But I think everything bad from a goalkeeping perspective was in this game. Clark makes a hames of it. The keeper for Wexford doesn't control his own box. Now, there's a lot of bodies in there, but he does get his paws onto it, and then he's there crying for three. Never. Couple of chances then as well. Just Wexford not really taking the chances that they did create. There was a really good one that kind of popped up, but just in the 6 yard box, and it was just rolled into the keeper's hands. Athlone had a couple of I think they had a chance going across the box out to nobody, so like, you know, chances were created from both teams, but the problem, like, this game could have been 4-4, just never got there. But some bad defending as well, and as you mentioned, the second goal for Wexford, I don't know what the hell Clark was doing. He was like expecting
down too early or something.
He just bends the knees and he can't get back up, and he's clawing at it like a cat, and he's not close to it. So disappointing there, but probably, you know, fair enough from Athlone to dig the point out in the end, because Wexford did create some other chances as well that they didn't capitalise on.
Right, that brings us to the BTS Predictions League. And as I touched on earlier on, we had an unbelievable week last week. Let me just get the famous spreadsheet by Carol Kelly up here. So last week, I got 2 correct scorelines and 5 correct results. You got 3 correct scores, 3 correct results. And our listener last week was Usheen, the Shamrock Rovers fan. He only got 1 correct scoreline and 2 correct results. So me and you last week, I got 11 points. You got 12. You were the top scorer, and the listeners, thanks to Usheen, got 5. So we've opened up a little bit of a gap. I'm on 22 points. You're on 23. You're top of the table, and the listeners are on 17. So this could be the year where we finally win the second.
Get it together, absolutely. How about it? Great shooting by myself. Happy to say it.
Yeah, this week's pod a bit thrown together after the stag do. We said on the train on the way home today, we'll record this tonight and get it out of the way, will we? Because you've stuff on this week. So yeah, we said, yeah, let's do that. So we didn't get time to put out our usual tweet. So the lads that we're on the stag with, we've asked them to chip in here and give us some score lines. So we'll go through them over the next few minutes. But we'll start with the First Division, as ever, and then we'll go into the Premier Division. And let me just get the fixtures up here in full. We'll start with Bray against Athlone.
An AstroTurf derby. I'm definitely leaning towards Bray here. I think they definitely have the edge. I'd be concerned with some of the defending that I saw from Athlone, and obviously the goalkeeping, but I don't think there'll be a repeat of that from Clark. I think he'll have his he'll be hard at it this week on the training field. I'm going to go for a tight one, but I think Bray will have enough, 2-1.
You're going 2-1, Bray. I haven't been overly impressed with Bray so far. No. Athlone defensively, there's definitely been some issues there, but they look a lot stronger going forward. I'm going to go 1-1. I think they'll get something out of the game.
Fair enough.
Cove Ramblers against Cork City. Big derby.
This is tough going. What do you think for this one?
I think we spoke about it there a few minutes ago. Cork, there's certain games in the league they'll be able to play within themselves. I think there's certain games where they'll go into where they know they maybe need to pick it up a little notch or two. I think they'll do that here. I think they'll win this comfortably. I'm going to go 3-0 to Cork.
3-0?
Yeah.
Oh, I seem to have been a lot tighter myself. I don't think we'll get something like that. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Cork.
Okay, we'll read out the listeners' predictions in a second. They're just getting back to us here live on the WhatsApp. So let's move on to Finn Harps against Wexford.
Definitely encouraging signs for Finn Harps, no doubt. I'm going to say that the journey will be a damager to Wexford. I'm going to go for 1-0 win to Harps.
Wow. 1-0 to Harps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been decent, haven't they, so far? A lot better than expected. Wexford, I'm not really seeing much that's going to suggest they're going to have a much better year than last year.
No, nor me. But there seems to be like a bit of farting around every year in the off season, but it just doesn't really shake out. Like they probably should be, you know, getting into the playoffs, but they don't go too much further. So are they building at all? Remains to be seen. But on this one, I think Harps will have enough for them.
Yeah, what did you go?
1-0 Harps.
I'm going to go 2-0 Harps.
Okay.
Treaty United against Kerry FC, Munster derby.
This has to be a win for Treaty. This
has to be a win for Kerry.
Yeah, but it's a non-negotiable for Treaty, particularly at home. I think Kerry have some prowess going forward. I'm going to go 2-1 win to Treaty though.
Right. Who's going to score the goals, as you love to say?
Jack Brady double.
Straight from the goal kick.
Yeah.
Very low score on this, I'd say. 0-0. Kerry need a win sooner rather than later.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And then on the Saturday, we've got Longford Town against UCD. So I'll see you again next weekend.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it already. I think UCD, was it their first win the other night?
No, they won the beat Kerry on the opening night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You remember last year, it took them ages to get their first win, and then they went on a decent run throughout the season.
They always seem to play well in Longford too. Now, we'll see how the pitch is. It's had a week to rest, but you'd imagine it could still be quite heavy maybe.
There's been work going on it all week. It'll be like a carpet.
Right. They love that, UCD.
Right, we'll go out Friday and wreck it.
Yeah, like they've done well in this fixture. I'm just looking here. Longford's last win in this one. I wonder, was it the playoff?
Playoff?
Yeah. I think it is that long ago.
Since Longford beat UCD?
Yeah.
Are you serious, eh?
Yeah, 2020.
Jesus help us.
Yeah.
Right, boys, channel that night into this game on Saturday, please. I think I'm very encouraged by Longford. You know, it's not an easy journey down to Kerry either, since we're on the journey talk. I'm going to say, I think Longford could definitely do something here, 2-1 to the town.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay.
And that leaves us then with, or do we, no, that's them all. That's them all. So we'll just run through the lads there that got back to us. So for the first division, so we'll give them, it's mostly John and Shane that have got back to us, not John Breyer, although he was on the Stag, BTS original podcast host. Some say it was better back then, but maybe that's just nostalgia talking, who knows. But we had John Sull from Mullingar, he was with us. We had obviously Lyle, who's been on the pod a couple of times. We had Jerry from Dundalk and David and Shane, who are very funny, actually. Going back to the Stag Do talk at the top of the show, we went to the Cliftonville game, as we said, Sunday, and we kind of said, we might make a move for the exit here now in the next few minutes and get out, because we had to get back to the train station. And I was like, look, lads, we sat through it. We'll be grand. But young Shane said, I'll go down towards the corner flag anyway. And next thing, Joe Gormley scored the winner for Cliftonville and just happened to run over exactly to where young Shane was. And Shane grabbed a hold of him and was looking up at us. He's in the highlights there today. It was brilliant. So that was a good bit of crack. But yeah, they're the lads that are taking part here. First division, they have gone, John Sull here going Harps 1, Wexford 0. Bray 2, Athlone 0, Treaty 0, Kerry 1. He's gone Cove 1, Cork City 3, and he's gone Longford Town 6, UCD 0.
Up the bye. He's dead
so
right.
We'll get back to the lads now in a second or two for their Premier Division predictions, but we'll roll through them here, Gary, and let's just make sure I have the right games here. We will start with Galway against Dundalk.
Another good opportunity here for Galway, maybe.
Well, we're obviously recording this now before they play tonight, so
yeah,
that could have a bearing on things.
It could, but I'd say this game tonight in Inchicore doesn't exist.
Let's just have a look actually at the team and see if Franz Perreault is playing tonight.
Oh, yes. Good man.
Mm-hmm. Thinking on the ball. Let's have a look. No, he's not starting anyway. Is he on the bench? No sign of him just yet.
I think he's been out of... He hasn't been playing much football lately, so he probably will take a bit of time to gather himself back up. But I think it's a real opportunity here for Galway, especially with Dundalk.
No, your mate Forrester's not starting again, by the way.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much.
Max, Matt and Keane on the bench, so it looks like they're coming back on stream, so that could...
Well, someone has to do something. You know, I know they scored 4 goals the other night, but like, it's a long old season.
Anyway, we'll get the Pats in a while. Galway Dundalk on Friday.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Galway.
This is a big one. Like, as we said, the Dundalk, I think, easy enough for them to write off what happened in Richmond the other day. Not worry about it too much, but this is a game now. If you take a loss here, all of a sudden you're like, Vinny Leonard got a straight red, didn't he? So he'd be suspended again.
Yeah.
Maybe Perreault makes his debut. Set piece is a big concern here for Dundalk.
They are.
Big concern.
As you mentioned, I think they've conceded 1 or 2 every single game so far. And you also mentioned Leonard as well. He's not playing. Look, they conceded without him or with him as well. So not exactly ideal. What are you going for?
I'm very tempted to follow your 1-0 Dundalk.
I'm not going 1-0 Galway.
Yeah. Tempted to follow that, but I can't do that. I'm going to go 1-1. I think Danny Mullen will get one here. Been very impressed with him, I have to say. He's a lovely little player.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll need a lot from him this season.
The lads there in this one going with... We'll go with Shane here this time. He is going 2-1 to Galway.
Fair enough, yeah.
Right, moving along to the next game then. We'll have a look at Waterford against Bowes.
Big, difficult. I don't want to say difficult test, but like it is a test for Bowes here. Like, can they slog it out against a team that will be probably working extremely hard, or even harder than the usual opponent at the back. But while still having the danger man like Lonergan and Amund. What do you think?
I don't think Bowes will have any issue here.
I don't either. But Waterford will have to get on board soon.
I think this is one of the hat trick games for Colly Whelan last season.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Could see him having a field day down here. No, I'm going to go very high scoring here. 4-2 to Bowes.
Okay, Jenny. I'm going to go 3-1 to Bowes.
Very good. We're still on the Bowes train this week. Shelburne against St. Pat's. Big Dublin derby, as there is most weeks.
Obviously, it is key what happens tonight. This is in Talca Park, did you say?
Yeah, it's in Talca. Just have a look at this Pat's team. Just trying to see, did they make many changes from the other night?
From Saturday or from Friday.
There's a couple of changes, but it's a fairly strong team. As I said, the likes of Keena there and Mata on the bench. So could they get them into a starting 11 come Friday?
I don't think so. Not for a game against.
Yeah, they had very little football in pre-season.
Yeah.
Could be good options off the bench, though. I think it'll be a draw here. I think this will be very tight.
Shells would be strong for them.
I think Shells will take the lead and won't be able to kill it off, and one of them lads will come off the bench and get an equaliser. I'm going to go 1-1.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Shelburne.
Okay, and again we'll go with Shane here on this one, and his prediction is 2-1 to Pats.
Oh, very nice.
Interesting. Right, moving along then. Shamrock Rovers against Derry City.
Yeah, big test here for both teams. Rovers haven't been sparkling just yet. Of course, there was that famous win down in Talla for Derry a couple of years ago. If you remember,
I remember
some lad ran half the pitch or whatever. What are you thinking for this one? It's a very important game for both teams, considering
it is. It is. Derry obviously won the President's Cup against a much changed Rovers team. Obviously, no one's been that impressed with Derry so far.
But they're trying to get a lot, we're able to do something here. We came back from 2-0 down and bet the piss out of Waterford. Obviously, a different animal, but.
The better pitch up there, I think it could suit Derry. I think they'll be well organised, maybe get some joy on the counter attack. I'm going to go 2-1 to Derry.
You haven't been impressed with Shamrock Rovers enough, no?
Well, you couldn't have been impressed with them Friday. They were absolutely torn to pieces by Bowes. We did have Pats fans saying to us, there was chances there where it could have. So,
is there a bit of a blueprint there for Bowes or for Derry from the Bowes performance the other night?
Suppose harder to replicate that away from home. Bowes came with a real intensity. You're going to go 1-1?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 2-1 Derry. And again, Shane here is going 2-2. So we're expecting goals in that one. And then we've got Sligo against Drogheda on the Saturday. This has been a dreadful fixture for Sligo Rovers in recent years. I often mention I was at that 7-0 game from a couple of seasons ago. This is the sort of game where they really could do with a result, particularly after Drogheda losing last time. Bit of noise still going on there behind the scenes. Sligo could do with capitalising and getting something out of the game.
To be honest with you, I don't really see it.
Just a lack of an attacker, isn't it, that's going to score? It's just so concerning.
It's a lack of an attacker, but I just feel that Drogheda, they're a lot wiser. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw for this one. I think it's going to be a bit of a dour one, but I definitely don't see any more than that for Sligo.
I think Drogheda might steal it with a set piece.
Yeah, very possible. I'd be kind to Sligo, though. 1-0 for me, 1-0 for you. Right?
And again, we'll go with Young Shane here, and he is going for...
Young Shane?
He's young. Youngest in the group, anyway. What's he gone here? I can't seem to see his prediction. Oh, he's going 2-0 to Drogheda.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't entirely discount that one.
No,
I think we'll stop out. No offense to John Sull, but that Longford 6-0, we want to keep the predictions league, the integrity alive. So we'll switch his prediction for that one out. His other predictions were fine, but we'll go with David there. He's gone Longford 1, UCD 2, just to make sure there's no accusations that we're trying to fiddle this league or anything. We want to win the title clean and proper, fair and square.
After all your fiddling down through the last 2 years, right? Okay.
Raging about this spreadsheet.
Yeah, you've been done. You've can't been riddled.
Yeah.
Absolutely found out.
Right, before we go to the hotline, we've got the charity bet this week. What's actually, like, again, you know, we generally do, I always like to think, try and put on a good, well-organized show here. But you can forgive us. We've been drinking for 2 days solid now. So maybe not just as organized this week. So I must see how we got on last week, actually. My charity bet was Derry to win. No, Cove let me down. And I had under 2.5 goals in a couple of games that didn't work out. Last week, you had Derry. Cove let you down as well. And you went draw, Pats them though. So we were both way off it again last week.
Shite.
Yeah, terrible. So let's hope for better this week in the Between the Stripes charity bet, sponsored by Bar One Bet, and thanks to them for their continued support. But at the moment, they're keeping the money in the satchel, because we've only had one winning bet so far. Week one, I played it safe just to get a bit of a kitty going. I think I got 30 or 40 quid up, but the well has been dry since then. So come on, Gary, what have you got this week for me?
I'm gonna go. Very tough in the Premier Division. I'm going to go Galway to win.
Okay.
And I'm going to go. Let me see now. Let me just. Galway to win. Treaty to beat Kerry. And Harps to beat Wexford.
Right, okay. If you give me 2 seconds here, I'm on the website here. So I will price these just so we see how much money we'll be getting back next week. Let me find the first. So Premier Division, right. So give me them again.
Treaty to beat Kerry, Harps to beat Wexford, and Galway to beat Dundalk.
Galway to beat Dundalk. Okay, put that in there first, and then let me get down to the First Division here. So I am going to ask you again. You said no. You said Treaty, and you said Treaty, didn't you?
Treaty and Harps.
Treaty and Harps. Okay, we got there. Right. So a treble. Nice little price on that, guys. It's just over nearly 12-1. So over 120 back if that lands.
Very nice.
Okay, and let me see what I'm going to go with here. If we don't get something up this week, I think we'll throw it out to the listeners next week. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Let them get involved. Yeah, you're right. Jeez, even the First Division there, there's not really standing out. Yeah, I'll go up into the Premier, I think, here and see. Can I get a bit of joy? I'll go Bowes anyway. Definitely fancy Bowes. Bowes Derry could be a nice little double.
Ooh,
and
what does that get you?
It's nearly 5-1. Do I throw Drogheda in there as well? Yeah, let's throw Drogheda in there and see can we get a big treble up and try and... So that's over 13-1.
Fair enough.
So if we could both land them next week now, we'd be laughing.
Lovely.
Lovely. So that was the BTS charity bet sponsored by Bar One Bet, and thanks to them for their continued support. That brings us to the hotline, Gary, before we go. Bit of a quieter hotline this week, but that's okay. Can't be bunged every week. Paddy says only one tribe in Connacht, so very happy Galway United fan. I think they're feeling a bit better about themselves after that result the other night. Kieran Carrick, much needed win for Shells to get the season up and running. Need to bleed the new signings in and get Jarvis match fit. I think we've mentioned that a couple of times that we didn't expect him really to hit the ground running given the lack of football he's played in the last year or so. Alan Kelly, don't let them 2 goals for Rovers cover up the truth. Bowes absolutely dismantled Rovers all over the pitch. Stunning performance, made Rovers look so basic.
Yeah, well, I said at the outset, like, you know, we were taking off people like, oh, Bowes are going to be shite, or they're not going to last the season, or we weren't saying for the title, but like we are very impressed with their, you know, start off to this season, and that they look a, you know, more copped on side than they were in the years past. So like, it's not a surprise that they're getting some of these results. I think they're going to continue on and will be in the mix come the end of the year. So don't be too surprised about it, Bulls fans.
One point I would make as well, just I suppose the last couple of pods, there's been a bit of negativity at the start about the whole Drogheda incident, but that advert I thought for the league on Friday was unbelievable. Like when the third goal went in, they were just showing the camera like around the Jody, and the place was literally bouncing. The noise, the colour was just it was coming through the television so well. It was savage, and you're just like, that is a great advert for the league right there.
Certainly is. It was a great watch. And hopefully lots more of that to come. Particularly, obviously you want the best games on Virgin. Get the maximum number of eyes on everybody, but hopefully we'll see more of it as the season goes on.
And no, credit to them. I know some people like to cry about, oh, they never leave Dublin. But as we've pointed out, like, you know, half the Premier Division is Dublin. So, you know, chances are if there's a live game, it's going to be coming from there. But we've seen plenty of teams on the TV so far this season, and they are, I think by the time the first series of games is over, you'll have seen every team at least once, which is great. Again, it speaks to that, like we spoke about before, trying to tell that story that people can get more engaged with if they're seeing these teams. And finally, Brian Doherty, Michael Duffy, FC, firepower plus positional cohesion minus errors equals title charge. We've got the first part of the equation, that's for sure. Rovers looking vulnerable, a real litmus test next weekend. All eyes on the team selection. Lynch got the subs right last night. I did mention the impact the subs had. So
he got the subs right. So that's saying that he got rid of James McLean was right. Okay, interesting. One to note for next week.
That's a huge game Friday.
It is.
Surprised maybe that wasn't the live game, but I suppose we've
been in another channel every second week anyway. So look, if they give it a miss once in a while, not too bad.
No, that's it for this week.
Fair enough. Good quick pod to ease us back into the rest of the week, Berko.
Yeah, definitely. Back to work tomorrow, back to reality. So, won't find Prague now either.
Oh, that's exactly it. 2 days left until 3 weeks away.
Get the countdown going.
Get the countdown going. I can't bloody wait. Just really itching for it now.
Shout out to one of our loyal listeners, Pat's fan, Laura. We bumped into her in Belfast. She was on a work night out, and she's across to Prague as well, so we were all having a good chat about that, so that was great.
It's just I know we've lots of stuff to look forward to, thank God, but like, you know, it's just for this, like, to be in this position is just fantastic. So look, we'll be blue in the face talking about it for the next 2 weeks, and plenty more to come.
Sure, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to start looking on booking.com now to see hotels with maybe a little podcast studio for the summer, you know.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be doing it
by the pool.
Out by the pool is right. There you go.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That's it. Leave it there.
That's enough of it. Yep.
Thanks a million. That was Series 10, Episode 5 of Between the Stripes, LOI podcast, brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. Thanks to Bar One Betting as well for their continued support of the charity bet. We'll be a bit more organized next week, I promise. We'll be back to ourselves, feeling a bit peakier. We'll try and get a few guests on and the like, but until next week, thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.